Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Chris Daniels.
You know when they had that miracle in the time of Jesus, when they went through the roof, or they came in through the roof, and shortly after that, the people were saying, "We've never seen anything like this before." And I believe that we are coming into a time where we're going to be saying more and more. Because yes. I think we've started saying it a wee bit. That we are coming into a place where we have never seen anything like this before.
Yes, amen.
Amen. People are going to get healed
yes.
of stuff. And it's like, I've never seen a healing like that before.
Yes.
Just the way it happened.
Yes.
Now, we have seen the mud on the eyes with the mud pie and the spit, so don't worry. We have seen that before. So we're safe. Okay? But, you know, people are going to get jobs, and it's going to be like, I've never got a job like that before. It's never happened like that before. Finance is going to come to people. And we've all had, a lot of us have had envelopes through the post and things like that. But I tell you what, people are going to be getting financial miracles happening in their lives. And you'd be like, God, I've never seen anything like that before. Amen? I know a couple of us have here have had a massive timely tax rebate from the tax office. I mean, never seen anything like that before. I mean, thousands, amen. I mean, that was good. I have a few more of them, Lord, I tell you. But yeah, this is the new season. There's a film out, isn't there? Open Season. You've seen it. Tell you, man, it's open season in the kingdom of God. Is anyone believing me here? Yeah. Fantastic. I'm just going to nip briefly one last point here in Scarborough. So I am honouring. Wasn't that an awesome weekend?
Yes.
I mean, and that at the end, when there's just such an incredible anointing that just rested on us. And we had to go. And we wanted to stay. It was awesome. And for me, when Claire and I, not a lot of you know this, but some of you do, that Claire and I actually ran a church down in Reading until we came up here. And we were very good. In 5 years, we opened it, we sort of planted it, grew it, shrunk it, and shut it. Bang on 5 years, wasn't it? You know, to the day almost. You know, it's great. And I tell you what, actually, all this teaching about honouring, if anybody in our church had heard some of that, we might still be down there, so I'm glad. Because I'm good up here, I tell you. God's mercy rescued us out of that situation and put us by the beach. and we're you lot. Praise God. I tell you what, we had a number of new Christians that seemed to catch something of honouring the pastor and the leaders. But we had a lot of older people that had been in other churches. And they just came in and derailed it. Really. They didn't mean to. They thought they were doing the right thing, actually. No, none of them, with the exception of one or two, perhaps, I think, would have been wanting to derail what we were doing, what God was doing there. I'll tell you what, we saw some awesome miracles. We saw some incredible answers to prayer. I've never seen so much constant answer to prayer before that point until we were in that situation. And yet, we saw people saved from estates, you know, real wonderful salt of the earth types. One of them had a gun in his van, I think. And, and he turned up one morning wanting 500 quid off me. I was like, no! And it was close. He left his gun at home. Anyway, you know, awesome stuff. And yet, here we are. That's shut. And here we are. And all this teaching about honouring. I tell you what, some of you might be thinking, I'm not honouring again. And I'm not going to talk about honouring today apart from this bit. I tell you what, it is so true. Because it kind of wrecked us for a bit. And when we moved up here a year ago, we were wrecked. And not in a good way. Just took a few months of God encounters and rolling around the floor laughing. I mean, I don't know what some of you think of that, but I'll tell you what, when the joy of the Lord comes upon you, it is such a healing experience. I love it. I want to see more of it. It says, in the presence, in His presence, there is half empty jugs of joy. Now, fullness of joy. What is fullness of joy? It's not a slight smile that makes you look like you've got wind, I tell you that. Okay? Fullness of joy is fullness.
Yes.
There might even be a slight upturn at the side of your mouth, you know. No. And it's, then it says pleasures forevermore.
Yes.
Here's your homework for this week. Okay? Homework. Just ask God what it means. Pleasures forevermore. It says, in His presence there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Wouldn't it be great to get some revelation on what that was? Because you might end up spending more time in His presence. Because a lot of time we think we're spending time in His presence and it's a miserable experience and totally unpleasurable. But actually, in His presence it's fullness of joy. You're even allowed to enjoy the fullness of joy. It's good, isn't it?
Yes.
It's better than going to a weekly funeral practice anyway. Praise God. Hallelujah. So honour is so important. Really is. And we've got healed being here. Totally. And the healing goes on. And you know, we left a lot of the stuff back in Reading where we came from. But when you hear this teaching all the time, you think, oh, if only they'd done this, if only they'd done that, we'd have seen, at least we could still be up here and there'd be a church functioning down there in this same anointing. And that's what we're missing there. But never mind. I'm trying to get into Judges. Not into judging, just Judges. Chapter 3. One of my favourite stories. One of them. The Bible's full of many stories, therefore you can have a lot of favourites. Okay, let me release you into having lots of favourite stories. And this is a great story. Have I got time to tell it? Well, it's in Judges 3. Basically, it's at the period of time when Joshua has died. They're in the land, in Israel, where they're supposed to be. And they haven't got a king at this point, but that God has appointed people over them to make sure everything's running okay. And they have these things called judges. And what happened was they went through this phase in their life where God would rescue them. God would move on their behalf. They'd have a massive move of God that would bring them great deliverance. And then what they would do is they would celebrate and praise God. Isn't that good? And the man of God that brought them that deliverance, he would then rule over the land. Usually for about 30 or 40 years, sometimes shorter, sometimes, I don't think much longer, but usually up to that. And then when he died, it would all go to pot, completely fall apart, and everyone would just carry on as they always did before. Even though a whole generation had passed. And then God would remove his covering from them, because they weren't walking in his ways, because the covenant was saying that if you obey me, I will make that, you know, the enemy will come and I will knock in seven different directions and I will bless you in the town, I'll bless you in the country. So if they lived and obeyed God, they had all this blessing. But if they didn't, the blessing would be removed. And then, of course, they were open then to all sorts of stuff. So then what would happen is a neighboring tribe would suddenly gain in strength and beat them. And you know the story of Gideon, that happened in that situation. I know some of you know the Bible much better than me, but there's those different stories where God would have to raise up a hero to make a stand in the face of enemies and in the face of a complacent people who were happy with the way things were. Happy to moan about it, but not do anything about it. Very English they were. And it's true though, isn't it? They put a plate on your thing and it's like, what on earth's that? Is everything okay, sis? Fantastic, thank you. And you're digging into this muck on your plate, you know. But what happened in this situation was that a certain man called Eglon came And he was, the Bible says, in the original Hebrew, he was a bit of a porker. He was an enormous man. I mean, these kings, they did a lot of just eating and drinking and just doing that sort of thing and just enjoying the luxury life that being a king got them. So he ended up being like Jabba the Hutt, you know, this really enormous guy. And makes me look anorexic, really. He was just, you know, it makes me look really skinny. Big, big guy. And he was ruling cruelly, because that's how they always oppressed people. They oppressed the Israel people, the people of Israel. And no one did anything about it. And I was just thinking earlier, actually, most of the other judges God spoke to, I'm not sure God spoke to our hero in this story, a young man called Ehud. Wasn't one of the recent major politicians in Israel called Ehud. I think they've had one recently. But Ehud. And Ehud, they point out, was left-handed. Now, some of you here are old enough to remember that even in school, even in our lifetime, being left-handed was almost treated as a disability. Or actually probably was treated as a disability. Someone I knew a few years ago had a pencil sellotaped to his right hand to try and get him to write with his right hand. So even in our lifetime, being left-handed, in the post-60s environment, being left-handed was seen as slightly disabled. Now, you go back several thousand years in history, and I bet, being left-handed, you were practically an outcast. Did I say I'll bet, then? Did I actually say that? No. Grace. I reckon that being left-handed was actually a major disadvantage, socially, that you would have been a bit of an outcast. Because the story unfolds a few secrets. But this man got fed up not only of being maybe a bit of an outcast amongst his own people, but I reckon things were really, so you're listening, things were really not good when you were being oppressed by another group of people. And then you were at the bottom of the heap. So I reckon he was a bit of a fed up, really. And he was sick and tired of being sick and tired and all that. And he actually thought, you know what, I am going to go and sort our country out. I'm going to bring deliverance to our country because no one else is doing it. And they might all be complacent. Yeah, it's not good. Yes, we're down. But at least we're alive and we've got houses and we've got some corn. We have to give some of our corn away, but we've got some, you know what I mean? It was just like, we're okay. It doesn't matter that much. Not for Ehud. I've had enough. Forget this. I'm going to sort it out. And he made himself a sword because all the other weapons would have been taken off them so they couldn't rise up against the Eglon's men. So what he did was he made a 1 foot, I think it was a cubit, which is about your arm's length, isn't it? And he made a sword dagger that long. And of course he strapped it to this side. Let me put this down. He strapped it to this side. So he turns up at King Eglon's palace and he gets his cloak and they check him for a sword. Because nobody who's left-handed is ever going to be a soldier, ever going to be anything back in those days. So he opened there, and of course there's no sword. Well, they let him in. And it's hidden, you see. So then he goes in to see the king. And the king's got this big sort of rooftop thing. And he's sitting in there. And Ehud goes in and says to them, look, I've got a secret message from my people for you, my king. Can you? So he just clears everybody out. They close the door behind him. He locks the door because King Ehud can't move. But not very quick anyway. He then, of course, here's my message, O king, draws the sword. And it says, I love the Bible, it's great. Sticks the sword right in. And it says he was so fat, the blubber kind of covered the sword. Really plunged it in, lovely. So, and over it went. Indigestion? Try a new Rennie's, no. And of course, he then snuck out the window and found his way out, and off he went. Of course, he had no sword then, with blood on it, because it was stuck in, so there's no one spotted him. Yeah? And he brought deliverance to his people. Useful, strongly spiritual story, I know. And what happened was then that they thought he was on the toilet. They thought the king was on the toilet, so they left him. They couldn't go in there. Well, if the door's locked, he must be on the loo. So they couldn't go in. You see why I like the story? Has fat people swords and toilets? It's just perfect for me. You know, I love it. But what I believe the Lord wants to say to you. A lot of us are willing to do the will of God. A lot of us want to do something. God has called us to something. And we kind of say, yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but no one listens to me. So why would anyone listen to me in that situation? I'm not very good at this. But in his culture, this guy was left-handed. And he turned what was his disadvantage in life, because he rescued them, he became their judge. So the outcast or the fringe guy, because he took, the cards he'd been dealt, he then rose up and took on what God had called him to do. He'd actually called the nation to rule. The nation of Israel, he'd called to rule in that region and to be an empire in that area. And actually, he rose up, not because God had called him specifically, but he was part of the nation that was called up to do it. Amen. And we are being called as a church to rise up and walk into this glory. Oh, these things don't happen to me. No, these things may not have up to now. But we're stepping into a whole new place. Amen. Do not discount yourself. You're not Tesco. No discounting here, thank you very much. Okay? Step up and out. Whatever it is that God has spoken to you about, whatever it is you've just got a heart for. Come on, don't say, I've got this heart for this, but I don't know about this. Well, find out then and get on with it. Amen. Because we've all got a role to play in this church. Did you know that the Church of Jesus Christ in this world is the biggest army of volunteers the world has ever seen? And it's growing by about 150,000 people a day around the world. The house churches in China are growing so rapidly that probably in another 10 or 15 years, a sizable majority or sizable minority of that country will be Christian. Atheist China will be one of the most Christian nations on the earth. And we're talking about a billion people here. There's not going to be many of us in heaven compared to everywhere else, you know. But there's only one church. You can't talk about revival in that church, because there's only one church, and there is revival in the church right now, hallelujah, and it's happening all around the world. I don't know the statistics exactly, but about 25, 30 years ago, there was only a few dozen Christians in the nation of Nepal. Now there are hundreds of thousands of them. It was a closed country. It's still not so open, but I tell you what, God is moving in that place. Talking to someone earlier about Cambodia, I read a heart-rending book about Cambodia. There was a massive move of God in the early 70s in Cambodia. People becoming Christians everywhere. It was awesome. And then the enemy stopped it dead with a group of people called the Khmer Rouge. And they came in and for 4 years did probably the most brutal act and most disastrous act of running a country the world has ever seen. And actually the Vietnamese invaded and kicked them out. And since then, the church has been growing because, millions died in Cambodia. Many of you will be familiar with it, some of you won't. Many of those were our Christian brothers and sisters, but I tell you what was sown in the soil in that country, people are now standing up and going for it. Pol Pot was the man, the evil guy in charge of it. You remember the name, some of you. One of his deputies who ran the most feared prison, He ordered and did some horrible, terrible things. He's now a born-again believer. And he was actually in hiding and teaching up in the hills somewhere. He was actually become a teacher, changed his life around completely, God has. And then when the United Nations caught up with him, he's like, yeah, sure, I'll take the punishment, whatever it is, because I deserve it. You know, he's been forgiven by God, but it's the civil things he's done, isn't there, that he needs to be accounted for, and he will be. But isn't it awesome, even terrible men like that, the grace of God can get a hold of and change, and has used him, and is using him in the prison that he's in. I bet now he's not sitting quietly having quiet times reading Our Daily Bread. I reckon he's sharing the gospel. Whatever prison that man is in, for all the death and destruction that he wrought, I bet he's bringing life now. Isn't that awesome? Do you imagine when God says, I want you to preach the gospel? Yeah, but I slaughtered half this country. Not many people can say that. You know, I helped slaughter half this country. Yeah, but you're forgiven. You're a new man. Amen. What about you guys? God has put things on your heart. Might just be something you've got a real heart for. Maybe, you know, it doesn't have to be. Sometimes we're all waiting for a word to say, go ye and do this. And that's important. But actually, God gives his desires, doesn't he? He gives us the desires of our hearts. And if your heart hasn't got any desires, then ask him for them, and he'll give them his desires to you, and the stuff that's in your heart to do. And there'll be people in this room that have got similar hearts. You could get together. But you're hiding it. Well, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if that's really real. I don't know if that's really God. Well, at least test it out. At least talk with somebody. At least pray about it, you know. But don't be discounted if you're a left-handed Christian, because it doesn't matter in any way. God has called every one of you to be a part of not just a group that brings the glory down, but actually spreads the glory out. When I moved to Reading, I was a part of Youth for Christ. And we were sent down to Reading to join in with a similar scheme the churches in Reading had together at the time, which had this great title, Ditch Diggers. I'm part of Ditch Diggers. It was really dynamic and snappy. But very prophetic. And 2 Chronicles 3:16. I know it's a 3:16. It's either 2 Kings or 2 Chronicles 3:16. There is a time when actually Israel and Judah were together against 3 enemies. And they were stuck in this valley and they were not going to get out alive. So they had this great idea that the Israeli people and the people of Judah got on with now and again. They thought, hey, let's ask God. And so they did. And God spoke to them and said, I want you to dig ditches in the valley. Do what? So they've been fighting all day. Because they always seem to be very civilized. You notice that in the Bible, whenever war, they start at a certain time of year, and they seem to stop for tea breaks and things, you know. We'd have been good there, wouldn't we? And so they fought all day, had the tea, and then all night, the whole army was out digging these ditches. Anyway, next day, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and some otherite came along, walked into the valley, and all the ditches were filled with water. I think that's what he said, wasn't it? Fill these ditches and dig ditches and I will fill them with water. And he filled them with water and they all looked like blood. So the enemy showed up. Lots more blood. I'm sure some of them were fat and have swords too. And and in they came and all the enemy saw was nothing but rivers of blood in front of them. They're thinking, Israel and Judah have turned on themselves and killed each other. They put their weapons down and walked into the camp to go and loot it and got completely wiped out. Because, of course, Israel and Judah had not fallen out and they were still armed. And off they went and chopped them up and stuff that they did, you know. Big good one of those Romanian cartoons you used to get, you know. So, we're digging ditches in this town, in this region, for the Holy Spirit to flood with water, with the Spirit. That's what we're doing. It's not just a case of calling it down. Hey, praise God. I mean, actually, that was just kind of awesome this morning, wasn't it? We just walked into something there. That's great. But we're going to walk out with something too. And the moment you leave, you're entering your mission field. That doesn't mean you talk to everybody you get, but you just say, Lord, how, with what wisdom am I going to move into this situation? How am I going to get to heal the sick and raise the dead and things like that? Are you asking those questions? It's great on a Sunday morning, isn't it? Yay, I'm inspired to go and heal the sick. And as soon as you get out, you've completely forgotten that you're going to heal anybody if you haven't discounted yourself before you get to the door. But I tell you what, this is a secret, this. The same Holy Spirit that's in me, and that's in you, is in Pastor Paul. Same Holy Spirit in Dr. Jim. Same Holy Spirit in Clive and Dr. Colin. If we're going doctors on it, might as well. Same Holy Spirit in Benny Hinn, Catherine Coleman, St. Paul. Jesus. All the fullness of the Godhead, all the fullness of the Father, the fullness of the Son, the fullness of the Spirit is living in bodily form in Christ. Christ is living in me.
Amen.
So when we're singing these songs about how awesome is our God, how great is our God, how great is our God who's living in me, how awesome is our God who is alive in me. Come on, this is the God we serve. This is the God that's alive in us. This is the God that surely we can do something. I was thinking about this Nike thing. Just do it. Forget that. Let's really do it. Oh, no half measures and just. Do you like that? You know, they sort of come to our church. We're really half-hearted. And we don't really believe what we believe in. And our worship's really pants. You'll love it. You know. No chance, come on, we're hardcore in this platoon. We're going for it. We're going for broke. We don't care anymore. We don't want to end up going to something that we just don't like. We want to be a part of an army of volunteers, an army of the anointed, an army that is marching forward, growing and increasing and healing and seeing the devil defeated once and for all in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. He's trying it on. I tell you, he is trying it on the people in this room. But he will not touch a hair on the heads of people in this room. He has no right. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Amen. 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 I just ask you now, if you've got something on your heart that God or you just feel, this is something I could do. This is just something. Just stand up, please. Oh no, this is scary. So you don't have to share it with anybody. I think there's more than five of you actually. I'm not saying everybody, but I think there are some people that just, you know, there's something that you know in your heart you should be doing, and you're not doing it. Or it's something that God has spoken to you about, and it doesn't seem to be happening yet. There's something, there's a ministry, there's a way of serving other people, a way of serving the kingdom, that you don't seem to be walking into right now. Oh, hallelujah. So many of us are doing what God's called us to do. That's great. Some of us have just got that frustration in us. We just don't seem to be quite. I have a frustration. You know, when I'm preaching and stuff, I do a nice message and then we all go home. I don't want for more than that, you know. I want lives to be changed through the word of God when I speak. I want things to be turned upside down. Not just the style of delivery and that sort. I want to go beyond that. I'm hungry to see stuff happening. Can we just pray for these guys? If you guys can just receive now, because I just want to just pray over you right now. Holy Spirit, just come. Just come, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you've given these guys a heart for something. Thank you, Father God, that you really, really wanting to see them rise up and do something new, something fresh, something that is maybe unusual, and you're thinking, that can't be God. Oh, hallelujah. Holy Spirit, just come now. Just come now, Holy Spirit. Just come now, Holy Spirit. Just rest upon these folks now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just rise that up, Father. Just bubble that up in their spirits as they pray, Father God, now. Just bubble it up. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, I just want to pray a release right now. You say, whatever we loose on the earth will be loosed. Or will already have been loosed. So you have loosed something into these lives right before now. And we just pray now, release. A release now. Just release now. Release in Jesus' name. Just release now. Release. Release. Release in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just release. Release now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Yeah, stir him up, Lord. Stir him up, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no disadvantage in the kingdom of heaven. Every one of us can be used. Just release now. Hallelujah. Just release now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just release. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, something together. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, just release now. Can we have the musicians up, please? That'd be great. Just release now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, just release this now. Just release, release, release. We release kingdom purpose right now. Hallelujah. Kingdom purpose is being released. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Release right now, Father God. Holy Spirit, just come and release Phil right into what you've got for him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just release now. Release. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord. Oh, thank you, Father. You loose that now. You unshake it where it's got stuck inside. Just pray, Father God, that you just loose it right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, hallelujah. Just release this, what you've spoken to Nigel, Father God. You just release that. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for this mighty release. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Just before we get into a flow, this is Josh's last Sunday with us for quite a while, because he's going off to do teaching practice in Hull, and then, so I've been told this isn't prophetic. And then, of course, it's the summer holidays, because, of course, he's a student, so they have half the year off anyway. So can we just pray for Josh? Could you guys just lay hands on him there? He's already at the front. Father God, I just want to thank you for what this guy's brought to us with his guitar and his smile and his fun over the last few months and stuff. I just want to pray, Father God, that you would just abundantly bless him and all that we have received here, all that we have received here from heaven. Father God, we just push onto him. We just say, take with you. Hallelujah. Just fill him, Father God. But wherever he goes, he knows your peace and your kingdom at work in his life. When he faces that classroom of kids next term, Father God, you give him strength, you give him wisdom, Father. And we pray that he will develop into not just a good teacher, but a great teacher, and be an example of how to teach to people around him, Father God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. You are awesome. Hallelujah. 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 Can we jump into awesome God?
Yeah, sure.
Amen. Have you had a good time? Yeah. Are you blessed? Amen. Hallelujah. Should we just stand and let's just praise God one last time?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.